I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. How's everyone? Good, good. Good. Thank you, Anthony. Yeah, good fun in Borden. It's always weird when you go from one worship session with one twin and come to the other, and you think, where have I been? But the band was different, so I could tell that they were different people at the time. It is great to be with you. How are we doing? Are we enjoying this transformation series? Yeah? Good, good. I'm finding... I love that picture that Claire bought of just the building being renovated. I mean, I have to just describe so well how I'm feeling as well. Just the sense of, you know, I'm not brilliant at DIY. And it takes a little bit of encouragement for me to get going. But once I get going, and I'll have a go at stuff. And Ashley, it always fills me with somewhat joy if someone else could come and do it for me. I just want to encourage you. Let's let God do the work amongst us. As I was praying this morning about our time together, I was just reminded again of this verse that I think is becoming one of our verses over the year, which is, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I just want to start with a question, really, this morning is about how is your soul? For some of us, and I include myself in it, sometimes my soul gets weary. And, you know, there's a lot of change about, and for some of us, dealing with change is quite tiring. And that can, especially there's spiritual change going in us, it can be weary. But I think the promise of God is that he provides rest for our souls. And so one of the things that I want to do this morning, is just to offer a chance for us to, those of you who are perhaps feeling weary, to come and meet God and know the one who brings rest for your soul today. So we will have a time of prayer afterwards. And I think that will be one of the things that we pray about. But... let's just come to this point here. I love this verse. Mark 12:29-30. Jesus says this, the most important commandment is this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I'm going through an interesting time at the moment. I've been doing this Digging Deeper series in the evenings. And I was reading that... talking about the Gospels, and one of the things I learned was that, of course, the Gospels, as is all the Scripture really, was meant to be heard. It wasn't meant to be read. It was meant to be heard. You were meant to hear it. And so I challenge those of us who are at Digging Deeper to actually get an audio copy of the Bible and to work your way through it, particularly the Gospels at that particular state. And so I thought, well, if I'm doing it, I've got to make sure I'm doing it myself. So I've been listening to Scripture, just using an audio Bible. And it's absolutely revolutionary. It really is. Hearing Scripture is just so, it's just enlightening and just opens up Scripture so much. And when you listen to this verse, you see, most of us probably have only read this verse. But what you fail to grasp is the emotion that Jesus is putting into it. These are some of the most emotive words in Scripture. The most important command is this. Now, Jesus is talking, he's been asked a question. You know, what is the most important thing I can do? And so Jesus, full of emotion, says this. The most important commandment is this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This verse is packed with emotion. See, Jesus is saying, I don't want you to love God with a sort of love. A kind of love for God. So I want you to love God passionately, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. God wants an emotional relationship with you. And so this morning we're going to look at how to deal with how you feel. We're going to look at emotional health. And hopefully you've all got your sheets of paper. If you've got your sheet of paper, just give it a little wave so I know you've got your sheets of paper. Very good. Very good. And we're going to begin by just trying to understand why is it that God would want an emotional relationship with us. And the first thing about understanding our emotions is that God himself has emotions. See, most people don't realize this, but God has feelings. God is an emotional God. He feels joy. He feels grief. He feels pain. And he feels hatred towards sin. He has frustrations with the people around him, just like you and I do. God has emotions. The only reason you have emotions is because God has emotions. If God wasn't an emotional God, you wouldn't have emotions. But as we understand our emotions, what we need to do is we need to be aware that there are two extremes to avoid. Put this little diagram up for you. You see, we all fall into one of these two categories. We're either blue, where we're cold and stoic, or we're red and we're hot and emotional. But actually what God is calling us to do is to come into the purple area. We're to be purple patch people. And that's quite hard to say. But you won't forget it now. But God is calling us to be emotionally mature. He's calling us to be purple patch people. See, if you're more of a red person, then you're more prone to emotionalism, which means that all that matters is how you feel. Emotionalism at its extreme is saying that the only thing that matters in my life is how I feel. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what's right or wrong. It doesn't matter what's popular or unpopular, what's good or bad. What matters is how I feel. If it feels good, do it. And the extreme of emotionalism means everything I do in life is based on my emotions. They control my life. They dominate my life. They run my life. And I'm a very emotional person. Those of us perhaps are more on the blue side of things, however, our issue is stoicism, where feelings aren't important at all. It's the complete opposite of emotionalism. The only thing that matters is our intellect and our will, our volition and our intelligence. So stoics say that emotions are not part of life, that feelings don't really matter. Now, what's really funny is that red people marry blue people. And you're all laughing now because you know that to be true. You see, reds marry blues. And blues always get frustrated with reds because they think they are too emotional. And reds always get mad at blues because they think they're too uptight and closed down. Blues think you should not be sharing your emotions. Reds think if you're not sharing your emotions, you're not being authentic. Now, it's a general... I don't know where to put my bike. I'm going to put it back here. I've run out of space. Now, it is a bit of a generalisation, but it's true in our marriage. Okay? That the man is the blue and the lady is the red. Now, that may not be true in your marriage, okay? But that is... there. And I just want to illustrate this point, not with a video of our marriage, but a video that I have. Yeah, I changed the talk. But with a video. Here we go. Peter, we're all right with the sound?
We've got a box for the money, we've got a box for the job, You got a box for you. You got a box for the kids. You got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got boxes everywhere. And the rule is, the boxes don't touch. When a man discusses a particular subject, we go to that particular box. We pull that box out. We open the box. We discuss only what is in that box. Alright? And when we close the box and put it away, be very, very careful not to touch any other box.
There we go. Let's just go back one if I can. Now, you see, whether you're a red or a blue is not the point. Avoiding the extreme positions is what is important. And the purple patch is where you're meant to be. You are meant to be purple patch people. So here's the plan. This is where we're going to go. I want to address those of us who are more in the blue spectrum and then speak to those of us who are more in the red spectrum. I want to give observations from Scripture that will draw us away from the extremes and bring us towards the purple patch. So let's begin by going into the blue zone. Bravely wandering in there. Why must I learn to engage my emotions? You see, for blue people, the issue is not how do I deal with my emotions, it's where do I find them? You know, how do I engage my emotions? You see, first of all, God gave you emotions for a reason. Now, if you've been coming regularly to Jubilee Church, you will have grasped that worship is offering every aspect of your life to give glory to God. So when you go to work and you offer your work as bringing glory to God, that's worship. When you parent your children to bring glory to God, that is worship. And God, as we said earlier, wants you to worship Him emotionally. He wants you to feel it. The word emotion isn't used very often in the Bible. In fact, the Bible uses words like passion or affections. And in fact, the number one term that the Bible uses is heart. That's the metaphor that God chooses to use through Scripture. The mind represents the intellect. That's the phrase He often uses, the mind. But the heart represents emotions. So we read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 138, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. So if you remember, I began by reading what Jesus said, the most important commandment is this, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Worship happens emotionally. It happens spiritually. It happens mentally. It happens physically. All of worship involves all of your person. And that includes your emotions. So if you're more on the blue scale, know that God is calling you to worship Him emotionally. But why must I learn to engage my emotions? The second one is this, because God gave you your emotions. They're a gift from God. Now that may not always seem like that, but they are a gift from God. Even the negative ones have a role in your life. Emotions are a great asset. They're the one thing that makes you human. If you didn't have emotions, you'd be a robot. You wouldn't be a human being. It's your emotional ability that allows you to love and to create and to be faithful and to be loyal and to be kind and to be generous and all of those emotions that are attached to the good things of life. One of the most astounding verses in the Bible is Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. As I said, the only reason you have emotions is because God gave them to you and you were made in His image. My brother is, he's not a Christian, but he works in industry and he works for training people. And I was explaining to him yesterday, Mum turned 70 over the weekend and we had a good get together. And I was talking to my brother about what I'm doing. And he said, oh, I've got a fantastic story for you. So I'm going to blame my brother if it's not true. But he says it's true, so I'm going to trust him. So in World War II, when the Americans and the British started fighting with each other, not with each other, together, because they weren't fighting each other, as allies, that's a better phrase. What happened at the beginning was they needed to work out the emotional language that both armies were using. Because you see, Americans will tend to be a little bit more emotional. So when things were developing in a war conflict, you know, it's a disaster, all these things are happening, and it's crisis, and all of these amazing things, that, you know, it's just the bombs flying, it's everything. So that's kind of one report. And then the British would say, well, it was a bit of a sticky wicket. And so the Americans kind of looked at the British and said, well, clearly nothing's happening. And the British were looking at the Americans thinking, well, clearly, you know, you're just overreacting. And actually what happened was there were just two cultural expressions of emotional language being used. And they had to work out a way that they could understand one another. And so I think for many of us, our culture shapes that perhaps we might be more blue than red, just by being British. So how do we engage our emotions? Well, studies after study show that our EQ is more important than our IQ. So we're familiar with our IQ, our intelligence quotient, because we know that that's a measure of how clever we are. And if we're really clever, we can become a member of Mensa. Okay? But our emotional quotient is about how emotionally mature you are, how emotionally aware you are, that you're good at dealing with your emotions, that you've got good emotional common sense, if you like, of dealing how you feel and how other people feel. And in business, you can have a very low IQ, but have a very good EQ and become incredibly successful. You see, high EQ people are purple patch people. They are people people. See, dealing with your emotions is not just about controlling them. That is often a red issue. But for those of us who are perhaps more on the blue spectrum, we need to engage our emotions. So how do we engage our emotions? Well, the first one is this. We need to lift the label. Open up any wallet and you'll find a plethora of cards that are indicators of who we are. So we might be Tesco shoppers, season ticket holders, AA members, etc. One of my observations is that people who are strongly in the blue zone often find themselves labelled as cold rather than passionate, detached rather than engaged, uncaring rather than compassionate. All of these are pretty negative labels. And my experience is that for the vast majority, these people are unfairly labelled. But they start to own the label, and then they begin to make excuses. Well, you know, my parents were not very good at expressing their emotions. See, I grew up in a generation where emotions were frowned upon. I'm just not wired up that way. And other excuses. I'm not denying the truth of some of these excuses. But they are simply that, excuses. They don't define who you are. What defines you is that you are a daughter or a son of God. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you have been made an emotional being. The more you allow others, and even worse, allow yourselves to be defined in that way, the further you are from God's truth. Psalm 139. For those of you perhaps on the more blue side of the spectrum, you need to have this written down. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, who is an emotional God. You are an emotional being. So, first of all, we lift the label. Secondly, we name it. We name the emotion. None of us, red or blue, are as in touch with our emotions as we think we are. There's a story of a pastor and his wife, and they're going for marriage counselling. They're in a bit of trouble with their marriage, and they go for a marriage counselling session. That's a good thing to do, a little bit of coaching, help them along the way. And the counsellor's there, and he says to the pastor, tell me, how in touch with your feelings are you? How do you think you are? And the pastor, being a pastor, says, oh, I think I'm actually quite in touch with my emotions. Thank you very much. I'm what you would call quite a sensitive guy. And so the counsellor said, fantastic. Tell me some of the emotions you felt last week. And he went quiet. And the man was thinking, oh. And the counsellor looked at him and said, well, tell me what you felt yesterday. And the pastor was going, oh. And almost as if to break the silence, he said, well, I was tired and I was hungry. And the counsellor said, those aren't emotions. And they're not emotions. They're drives. He thought he was really in touch, but he wasn't. And I have to admit that sometimes, not sometimes, most of the time, I'm quite confused about my emotions. And I find it hard to define what emotion it is that I'm going through. I can't tell you the number of times that Amber has said to me, so what is it that you're feeling at the moment? Well, I know I'm feeling something. Just can't quite identify it. I I can't name it. And so second thing we need to do is once we lift the label off ourselves, but the second thing we need to do is we need to name the emotion. But it goes closely in hand with this, which is stating the emotion, being able to say what it is. Because we can say, oh yeah, I'm feeling something. I think it's frustration. Might be hunger, I'm not sure. But and we need to state it. Now, blues, for one reason or another, we just don't have the language of emotion. I suck at languages. I think I did French at school. I'm still not sure. A few years ago, I had a season in my life where I would go every year to go and see the 24-hour motor racing at Le Mans in France. And I needed to start to speak. And to be honest, it was only to order beer and chips. Okay? But if I didn't order beer and chips in France, I would be hungry and thirsty. And the only way that you get to be understood is if you can speak the language. And in the same way, it comes to the same thing with emotions. Even if you suck at the language of emotions, you need to start making yourself understood. You need to start speaking the language. Proverbs 3:3-4 says this: let love and faithfulness, emotions, never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Name them, identify them, pinpoint them, claim them, give them a language. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God. You see, if you start learning what you're going through, you will be able to be understood, and others, and you'll be able to understand others. That's learning empathy. And it's really important, and the rewards are so valuable. So lift the label, name the emotion, state the emotion. Now, when we move on towards the reds, whether we're red or blue, we are actually all emotional. And our emotions can flare if the right buttons are pressed. We all know what it means to have the wrong buttons pressed and for our emotions to flare up. But how we manage them at that situation is what's important. So remember, on hearing that Lazarus died, Jesus wept with grief. In the temple, he became angry and he overturned tables. Over sinners, he showed compassion, and at parties, he enjoyed himself. Jesus had emotions and handled them well. So as we pass from blue to red, we need to find out reasons why we need to deal with our emotions well. We need to realize how to deal with how we feel. So we're in the red zone now. Why must I learn to manage my emotions? First of all, because my feelings are often unreliable. See, they can lead you in the wrong direction. How many times have you thought, I know this is the right thing to do? I can feel it in my gut. My intuition is saying this is the right thing to do. And then boom, it's completely the wrong thing. Every one of us has done that. Our guts are often wrong. Our intuition is often flawed. Our emotions can lead us down blind alleys. You can't depend on everything you feel. Scripture picks this up in Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Our emotions are not infallible. Just because you feel it doesn't make it true. Our feelings can be wrong, and they can guide us in the wrong direction. Secondly, why I must learn to manage my emotions? Because I don't want to be manipulated. If you don't control your emotions, they will control you. And you will be manipulated by your moods. If you're always guided by your feelings rather than what's right or by the truth, other people are going to take advantage of you. That's why adverts work. Again, Scripture helps us with this. Like an open city with no defences is a man with no check on his feelings. Or as the New Living Translation says this, a person without self-control is as defenceless as a city with broken down walls. Not only are you defenceless against the manipulations of other people, but you're defenceless to the manipulations of your old patterns of thinking. How often, when we're hungry, angry, lonely or tired, do we find ourselves returning to negative patterns of behaviour? Whenever we're one of them, we need to halt. When we're hungry, angry, lonely or tired is when we're most susceptible. These are the moments that we're most vulnerable to our human nature or to the enemy manipulating us. If you don't know how to manage your negative emotions, you are helpless before Satan. You don't want to be manipulated. So listen up, and hopefully we can help. Because he wants to wreak so much damage in your life. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." If you don't have self-control, you will be lunch. So we need to manage our emotions. Thirdly, we want to manage our emotions because we want to please God. See, God cannot be God in my life if my emotions are God in my life. God can't rule my life if emotions rule my life. Jesus can't be Lord of my life if emotions are Lord of my life. If I make all my decisions simply based on how I feel, then I've made my feelings God. Then God can't be God. The Bible says in Romans, to be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. You cannot please God if emotions dominate your life and they're running your life. You have to ask the Spirit to come. Finally, the fourth reason. Fourth reason to manage your emotions is this, because you want to be successful. You want to succeed in life. Being able to manage your emotions is one of the great predictors of success or failure in your life. Do you know how to manage your moods? Do you know how to deal with how you feel? Do you know how to control your emotions? If you don't learn how to do this, you will never be the success in life that God wants you to be. See, we all know people who let emotions rule their life. They get up in the morning and they say, "Well, what do I feel like doing today?" Not much. So they end up not doing much. See, if you only do what you feel, then you're never going to succeed. You're never going to make much of life. Again, Scripture's really helpful for us there. People get lost and die because of their foolishness and lack of self-control. You see, when you gave your heart to Jesus, you gave him your emotions. When you say, "I give my heart to Jesus," you gave your emotions to be managed by him. So your heart is the seat of your emotions. Jesus wants to be Lord of how you feel, not just of what you think and what you do. He wants to be Lord of your emotions. 1 Peter 4:2 says this, "From now on you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires." What are human desires? It's your emotions, it's your affections, it's the way you feel. He says you've placed your life in the hands of Jesus. He's now your Lord. He's now Lord of your emotions. Let him be Lord of your emotions. So we looked at why. Now let's look at how. How then do we manage our emotions? Puppies. That's how we manage our emotion. Oh, exactly. We manage them with puppies. You see, emotions are a little bit like puppies. They're full of eagerness. They're always pulling at the lead and always wanting to get off the lead. But a wise handler knows that training them is the path to a happy life. So how do we manage our emotions? First of all, we have to name them. First thing you do with a puppy is you give it a name. You name them. Now, as you can see, that's very similar to what happens in the blue zone. You have to name it. You have to identify it. You've got to be specific. Now, the difference here is, for those of us in the blue zone, quite often our emotions are buried somewhere in the desert. If you're in the red zone, somewhere they're sort of floating around in the sea of emotion that's there. And so either way, the emotions have to be named. They have to be identified. They have to be specific. You've got to pinpoint exactly what it is. You can't manage a vague feeling. You can only manage what you're aware of. If you don't know what the problem is, how can you work on it? If you can't name it, you can't train it. You need to name the emotion. So Psalm 55:2 says this, "My thoughts are restless and I'm confused." You know, actually, emotionally, we can all feel very confused. And we're often confused when we don't really know what emotions we're going through. So how can we do that? Well, I want to suggest there are a couple of questions that can help us. If you want to be an emotionally strong man or an emotionally strong woman, if you want to be purple patch people, here are two questions for you. What am I really feeling? And what is triggering that feeling? You see, sometimes you just need to stop. You need to stop and reflect. You need to be honest with yourself and you need to invite God to be part of the process. See, it's easy to gloss over this process, but becoming emotionally healthy and spending more time in the purple patch is what you need to become more self-aware. See, what is it that you're really feeling? Dig beneath the surface. Name what it is that you're really feeling and ask God to help reveal it to you. In the same way, ask what's causing this feeling to well up. Is it a thought? Is it a situation? Is it a smell? Is it a touch? Is it a memory? What is triggering that response? Secondly, how else do we manage our emotions? Well, you need to challenge them. You see, puppies are an unruly bunch. They're always wanting to run off. It's important to challenge that behavior. In the same way you challenge what you're feeling. You don't just automatically accept what you're feeling. You don't automatically assume that because you're feeling it that it's accurate. You don't automatically assume that just because you're feeling it that it's true, correct, or even reality. You challenge it. See, are things really as bad as they feel they are? Probably not. Are things really as good as they feel they are? Probably not. You need to ask yourself some questions. You need to challenge your feelings. If you can't talk about it, then your feelings are already out of control. If you have a fear and you're afraid to talk about it, it's already out of control. It's only as you talk about it that you gain control. See, if you don't talk about it, your emotions start taking it out on your body. So I suffer occasionally with eczema. And one of the first realizations that I'm stressed is not that I feel stressed, but actually that I break out in eczema. So I'm almost swallowing the stress and my body then reveals what's going on. Someone said this, that if you swallow your emotions, your stomach keeps score. Emotions weren't meant to be swallowed, they're meant to be shared. And your first port of call is God. The Bible says in Psalm 26, "Lord, cross-examine me, test my motives and my affections." What are your affections? They're your emotions. Test my motives and my feelings. What is it that I feel? What are my emotions in this? Ask God to help you evaluate it. The second port of call is a trusted friend. Get a friend to help you. Sometimes it's best to have a friend who can challenge what you're feeling. Now, you've got to have a pretty close friend to be able to do that. Maybe it's someone from your growth group, someone who you're already doing life with. Job had a friend like that. His name was Eliphaz. And in Job 15:12, he said this, "Why has your heart carried you away, and why do your eyes flash?" Now, that's a poetic way of saying, is why have you run off the deep end? Why are you getting so angry? Perhaps it's time for you to give someone that permission. So what are the questions that perhaps this person could ask of you? And maybe questions you can ask yourself as you're challenging your feelings. What's the real reason that I'm feeling this? That's the first question. Goes back to what we were talking about earlier. What were the triggers? Maybe it's a fear. Maybe it's a worry. Maybe it's something that's hooked to your past. What's the real reason that you're feeling the emotion that you're going through? Second question is it true? Is what you're feeling right now true? So I'm sure many of you are familiar with the story of Elijah. And Elijah has won a great victory over the prophets of Baal. It's a great spiritual victory. It's actually a great military victory as well. And he's come out of that and he's tired and he's depressed and he's down and he goes to a desolate place. And he's at his end. And he says, "God, I am at the end of myself. Am I the only one in Israel that follows you?" And God said, "Of course you're not. There are hundreds of people who follow me." But Elijah got to the point where he thought he was the only one. His feelings were not true to what the situation was. Was he tired? Yes. His circumstances, his triggering factor was he was tired. He was emotionally wrecked and probably spiritually whacked out as well. But actually, was he the only one? No, not at all. God had many other people who were following him at the time. So you need to ask yourself, is it true? Are my feelings true in this? Third thing is this. Is what I'm feeling helping me or hurting me? Simply challenging emotion by simply saying, is this hurting me? Or actually, is it helping me get what I want? If I continue to feel this way, is it going to help me get what I'm looking for? A lot of the feelings that we have are very natural, but they're actually also very self-defeating. So you've got to name the emotion. Here's what I'm feeling, and here's the trigger. You've got to challenge it. What's the reason, the real reason I'm feeling this? Is it true? Is it helping me, or is it hurting me? And the third thing you need to do, is you need to tame it. See, the problem with puppies is they grow up into dogs, and dogs, if they're not tamed, will bite. If you want to succeed in life, you need to learn to master your moods. When you have a mood, when you have an emotion that isn't getting you where you want it to go, you've got two options. You either change it or you challenge it. Some emotions are so destructive, so damaging, so hurtful, so non-effective that the only thing you can do is change it. You've got to change what you're feeling. Philippians 2:5 says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Imagine a plumb line. And if you're constantly finding that your emotions are taking you to places you don't want to go, you need to ask yourself, you need to put up the plumb line of Christ and say, is this the same attitude as Jesus? And if it's not, you need to change it. But also you need to channel your emotions. If you can't change it, maybe channeling is the right way of doing it. What does that mean? You bring that emotional energy and you use it for good. So let's take a negative emotion like anger. Okay? When you use your anger for your own benefit, that's selfish anger and that's sin. But when you use your anger for the benefit of others, that's righteous anger. You see, anger is also evidence of love. If you never get angry about anything, it means you have no love in your life and you're apathetic. Because if you love someone and somebody hurts them, then you're going to get angry. That's a natural thing. Love gets angry. So God gets angry. The only reason you have the ability to get angry is because God gets angry. God gets angry at sin. God gets angry at evil. God gets angry when women are raped. God gets angry when children are molested. God gets angry when people are abused and misused. If you can take your negative emotion and use it a positive way, that's channeling your emotion. But I want to finish with this. We're in the process of renovation. And how do you tame a wild emotion? You don't do it by willpower. This isn't self-help. This isn't DIY. The Bible says this in Zechariah 4:6. You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You don't change an emotion by willpower. You can't force an emotion to change. It just doesn't work like that. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. I want to very quickly pray for those of you, and I include myself in this, who are self-proclaimed DIY experts. We're the ones who think, yep, I can do that. I can do that renovation. That's me. And what we desperately need is to put ourselves to one side and let God do the work. So I'm just going to invite you, if you're that person, why don't you just bow your heads? Okay, bow your heads with me, and I'm just going to pray for us. For those of you who, if that's not you, that's cool. Please just pray for me and for others. Okay, but I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we remind ourselves again of that wonderful word of wisdom in Zechariah. You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Heavenly Father, we ask, we plead with you. Lord, would you send your Spirit to do a work in our house? Lord, in my room of emotion, I so need the work of your Spirit. Lord, I confess that I'm someone from the blue area of life. And I need your Spirit to help me engage with my emotions. But Lord, I also pray for those of us who are on the red side of the spectrum, who need to learn to manage our emotions well. Lord, whether we're red or blue, Lord, we want to be purple. We want to be purple patch people. We want to be people who are in the zone. Lord, we want to manage our emotions well. We want to engage our emotions well. And so, Lord, for those of us who just need reminding that we are emotional people, that you've designed us to be emotional beings, Lord, would your Spirit remind us of that now? Lord, where we don't have the language of emotion or are not very fluent at it, Lord, we need your help. Would you help us to speak that language? And Lord, for those of us who are perhaps more on the red, who are very good at speaking the language, Lord, help us, help those just to manage their emotions well. Where emotions have a tendency to go out of control, maybe particular emotions like anger. Lord, would you help those to manage their emotions well? Lord, by the power of your Spirit, we pray these things. And or for those of us that just need rest for our souls, we ask, Lord, once again, would you help us to be yoked to you, that we may pull with you in your direction. And again, Lord, that's just such a work of your Spirit. May your Spirit be alive and working in us, we pray, as you transform us. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Bless you for your patience. Thank you. Shall I close it there? Thank you so much. Have a fantastic week, and we look forward to seeing you next week.